This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Kyle, before you step off the stage, what's your box number? What's your box number?
488.
Okay, thank you. You may sit down. Apparently, I've not been doing right in the sight of the Lord lately. It started about 3 weeks ago. I drive into campus just in time to meet somebody for lunch in the cafeteria, so I park in front of Memorial. Well, somebody, as I'm leaving the appointment, walking out of the cafeteria, one of the seminary students said, "I saw someone put a ticket on your car." And so I hear this and I go, "Oh my, I got a ticket." So I'm real nervous, and I go out there a little quickly, and I look, and there's this yellow piece of paper on my windshield, and I pull it off, and it says I owe what is $729.63, and I'm thinking, oh, my. And it says, turn into box, what does it say? 488. Now, I couldn't read the signature, but Kyle, I've just confirmed that that's your signature. That's your box number. I want my check back. Well, actually, I want to thank you, Kyle. Where are you, by the way? Where'd you go? All right, I want to thank you, actually, because this got me ready to what happened 2 weeks later, about 2 weeks ago. Yeah, you see where this is going. I'm leaving campus, headed to go eat lunch with one of my sons, and going to get off at Broad River Road, and I look in my rearview mirror, and there's a blue lights going on. I said, well, I better scoot over a lane so he can get by me. So I scooted over a lane. I look up. He's behind me again. So I said, well, my goodness. So I pull off the exit thinking, well, you know, I'm giving plenty of room. He's got the whole interstate now. And he pulls off behind me. I start thinking, I haven't done anything wrong. I'm going under the speed limit. Well, maybe I'm going too slow, because there's a minimum. And I thought, no, we're sending so many people to the nations. This is a terrorist disguised as a state patrolman. And he's going to try to shoot me because I serve at CIU. So I start thinking very quickly, I'll just go back on Broad River Road, head back to campus. I'll call security. We'll have a shootout. Oh, I hope they can find the bullet that we have. So I said, well, you know, chances of him being a terrorist, that was pretty slim. I must have done something wrong. So I pull over, and he comes to my window, and I put my arms up. You know, like, I'm not used to this, you know. So I said, what did I do? He goes, didn't answer me. He says, I need to see your registration driver's license. So, you know, I'm just, you know, okay, you know, here they are. And he goes, this is not your car. I go, you're right. But if it's any credit to me, I didn't steal it. And he goes, what are you doing driving this car? I said, well, it's actually a CIU car, and I work there. What did they do this time? And he goes, you don't have the little decal on the tag. Well, oh, am I getting a ticket? He goes, yes. I'm getting a ticket? He says, yes. He says, but I'm not going to charge you. I went, phew, that's good. But you have to go to court. Court? I have to go to court? He says, no, you can send somebody in your place. I'm like, oh, phew, that's good. I said, you know something? Since I'm not really in trouble, and I'm an optimist, you've made my day. May I take a picture of you? And he goes, why do you want to take a picture of me? I said, because we're doing a study right now on doing right in the sight of the Lord. And I don't know, but this has got to be a good illustration somewhere. So So Kyle, thank you very much. And don't forget, I want my check back. Now, we're doing a study on doing right in the sight of the Lord. And by the way, I just got an email yesterday. God seems to be really using this study. Is Andy in here? Andy Bastian? Stand up, Andy. Andy, make sure I get this right. Andy sent me an email yesterday, day before yesterday. He says, I've been listening to these messages and I'm applying to my life. And as a result, I've gotten engaged. Is Karen here? Karen, stand up. Andy said, I've been listening and I've picked out a wog of a girl. If you remember the introduction, it means a woman of God. And what struck me most about the proposal, after he put the ring on her finger, there was a moment of shock, and then she broke out. Stand back up, Karen. She broke out into a famous hymn by Beyonce. And she's saying, put a ring on it. So, well, others of us, as we've gone through, we've learned from Asa. Here's what we've learned from Asa. The right devotion. We want to serve God with the whole heart because he's not a cheap God. From Jehoshaphat. And then Dr. Beyer came and he spoke to us on Jehoshaphat. And he said, it's the right focus. The right focus. We want to wage war. We may wage war on our feet, but we win the war on our faces. God, it's only through you working, or it's only by you working through me, there's going to be victory. And Dr. Murray spoke recently on Joash. We must get the right counsel. We must listen to godly people. That brings us this morning to King Amaziah. Number 9 in terms of kings of Judah, we learned 2 things from King Amaziah. First thing we learned was he looked a lot like Dean Swift. Second thing we learned, that we must maintain the right vigilance. Maintain the right vigilance. Why? Because the pull of sin's gravity is very powerful. So this morning, either turn your phones on or turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. 2 Chronicles. And remember to turn that app on a page turning, because if you're scrolling down, I like to hear the pages turn. Now, if they're turning for about 15 minutes, you can't find 2 Chronicles. I don't really like that too much. So go to the table of contents and find out where it is. Now, I've gone through each of the books in the Old Testament just so I can have a better grasp. And I tried to outline each of the, each of the books in the Old Testament. And then sometimes when I'm in a chapter like this and studying it, I go and outline the specific chapter. So here's my overview of Amaziah. Here's my outline. I've written it in my Bible. I broke it down into 3 main categories. First, Amaziah's attributes, verses 1 and 2. Then his actions. That takes up most of the chapter, verses 3 through 24. 4 main actions. He's a new king, so he needs to consolidate his power. His father had been assassinated, we learned last time from Dr. Murray. Secondly, once he's consolidated his power, he conquers Edom. Now, what's interesting, just look for a moment at verse 8. This man of God speaking to Amaziah, and Amaziah has recruited a bunch of mercenaries from Israel, the kingdom in the north. And the man of God saying, you don't need them. He says, but if you go down to battle, be strong for the battle. Yet God will bring you down before the enemy, for God has the power to help and to bring down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for 100 talents which I've given these troops of Israel? And the man of God said, answering, he says, the Lord has much more to give you than this. He's saying, the battle belongs to the Lord, just like we found in Jehoshaphat. So we see these lessons throughout Scripture. Then in the next few verses, 14, 15, and 16, he collects idols. Then he challenges Israel. Yeah, so he's won this battle with Edom, so now he picks a fight with Israel. But then we get to verses 25 through 28, and the third major category is his assassination, because he turned away from following the Lord. So that's that chapter. But what's wrong with the picture here? Well, in his attributes, it says, he's a man. He did right in the sight of the Lord. And then we understand consolidating his power because his father's just been assassinated. We understand him waging war with this Gentile kingdom. But what doesn't make sense is verses 14 through 16. He's collecting idols. So this morning, I want us to focus on those three verses, 2 Chronicles 25, 14 through 16. Let's just read them here. Now Amaziah came from slaughtering the Edomites, and he brought the gods of the sons of Seir, set them up as his gods, bowed down before them, and burned incense to them. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Amaziah, and he sent him a prophet who said to him, "Why have you sought the gods of the people who've not even delivered their own people from your hand?" As he was talking to him, the man of God, the prophet, was talking to the king said to him, "Have we appointed you as a royal counselor? Stop! Why should you be struck down?" Now that makes a lot of sense because his father had killed Jehoiada's son, Zechariah. So he can do the exact same thing. Then the prophet stopped and said, "Well, I know this much, that God's plan to destroy you because you've done this, bowed down to these idols, and have not listened to my counsel." All right, so let's ask a few questions of the passage. Question number one, what did Amaziah do? Look at verse 14. He's just had victory in the south with the Edomites, and he takes their idols, their gods, and he brings them back to Jerusalem. Now, we're going to ask the question why in just a moment. But once he gets in Jerusalem, he bows down before them. He worships them. And that's what the incense is. He's burning incense. That's what he's doing. He's trying to show that he's worshiping these gods. Well, who are these gods? Let's look at another question. Who are these gods? There's not a whole lot, as I researched this the last few weeks, there's not a whole lot about the gods of the Edomites. We know the main one was Kos. He was the national god, the main one. But here's what we do know. Keep your finger there and turn to Psalm 115. Here's what we know about every idol, about every man-made god. Psalm 115, beginning with verse 4. "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They are the created gods." They're not the creator god. They are created gods. And I love these next three verses. "They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk." Why? Because they're not real. So why would Amaziah seek the gods of the people, the gods of Seir, the gods of Edom? Look at verse 2. Scripture says, he did right in the sight of the Lord. But there's a comma. And oh, as we listen to this series this year, and as we apply these things to our life, when it comes time for God to write our epitaph, may there not be a comma. It says he did right in the sight of the Lord, but at some point, he stopped being vigilant. He let his guard down. At some point, it says in verse 2, he quit serving God with a whole heart. At some point, he quit serving God with a whole heart. Look at verses 7, 8, and 9. This is that man of God who came up to him. He says, "You don't need to trust in the gods or in the soldiers of Israel. You need to trust in God." And he listened to him in verses 7, 8, and 9. Then Amaziah, verse 10, then Amaziah dismissed the troops. He listened to the man of God. But when it gets to verses 14 and 15, he's confronted. We don't know if it's the same prophet. It's a man of God. Neither one are identified. But he doesn't listen to this man of God. At some point, he quits listening. Look at verse 19. This is when he's picking the fight with Israel, the king of Israel. And the king of Israel says to him, hey, listen, Amaziah, you defeated Edom, but your heart has become proud in boasting. At some point, he develops pride. All these good things that are happening, I'm responsible for them. And then look over in verse 27. And from that time, and from the time that Amaziah turned away from following the Lord, at some point, Amaziah quit following the Lord. When? Not sure. But at some point, he quit being vigilant. He quit staying on the alert. Well, how do we apply all this to our lives? What can we do to avoid making the same mistake as Amaziah? We must remain vigilant. We must stay on the alert. We must be watchful. We must be on the lookout. This week, I started reading Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I broke this chapter into three paragraphs, and here are my titles for these three paragraphs. First paragraph, verses 1 through 9, acquiring wisdom. Second paragraph, verses 10 through 19, I put avoiding wickedness. Verses 20 through 27, third paragraph, acting watchfully. Why did I put that? Verse 23, watch students, faculty, staff. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Verse 26, watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Verse 27, do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Be watchful. Watch your path. Watch your heart. Be on guard. Well, let me illustrate if I can, because I learned a big lesson this summer, what it means to be vigilant. Some of you know, how many heard of the genocide that was taking place in Darfur? Okay, what country was that? The Sudan. July the 9th, Sudan broke into two countries. North Sudan, South Sudan. Just like North Vietnam, South Vietnam. North Korea, South Korea. It broke July 9th, it broke into North Sudan, South Sudan. I was there on Independence Day. And the people, here's a picture of school children walking from miles away to celebrate the independence. But the new president, Salva Kiir, he said, before we celebrate our political freedom, he said, I want everybody to first go to church. So the second picture is the church in which we celebrated. And then we were in this little town called Louis. And then we went to celebrate after church. We went to celebrate under this tree. It was called, 100 years ago, it was called the Laurel Tree. It was called the Slave Tree. So this is us celebrating with the political leaders, and the students put on dances for us, and it was just an amazing, memorable event. But this tree, this fourth picture here of just the tree, it's a couple of 100 years old. And for over 100 years, the Muslims in the north of Sudan would take the blacks in the south of Sudan and under this tree sell them into slavery. So the name of the tree was the Slave Tree. In the 1920s, a British missionary went to the town of Louis. First he started a hospital, then a school, and then under this tree, he started the first church. And he changed the name of the tree to the Redemption Tree. You've been bought out of slavery. Spiritually. And so it was a very powerful moment to be celebrating their political redemption under the Redemption Tree. Now, what does that have to do with being watchful? Absolutely nothing. I just want you to understand why I was in Africa. Now, I'm with this group. We've been training church planters, and we celebrated independence. And the fellow that took me there, he said, listen, while we're over there, he said, I would like to go on a lion hunt. Would you like to go with me? And I said, yeah. Try to put the words back in my mouth. And I said, you know, actually, I have a lot of experience hunting cats. You remember Shelly got lost that time, and she was across the street, and we found her. And then Miss Kitty, back in the house before this, when she got lost, and she got run over, but I found her. And so, I said, you know, I have experience hunting cats. So we go to a different place in the country, and the morning came, and we go tracking these lion prints. And he was in the front, and there was a guide in the front, and there was another guy in the front, and I'm in the back. Well, it's not like this big plains, you know. We're walking through trees and stuff. And so, you know, I'm kind of back there going, here, kitty, 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 you know, kicking rocks. You know, it's kind of boring being the last guy in line, you know, and just watching the guy in front of you. And so we walked about 10, 12 miles, didn't see anything, and sat down for lunch. And I said, well, teach me about lion hunting. And they said, well, what typically happens is he gets tired of us tracking him. At a certain point, he turns around and he'll charge us. I said, that's fine. I'm in the rear, so, you know. Got to be thinking. And they said, but sometimes, it's very, very rare, but sometimes they'll sneak around and they'll attack the back of the line. Well, now I didn't have a gun. It's not funny. So, before lunch, I'm going, looking at birds, you know, just having a great time, just it's kind of boring. After lunch, with this new insight, I'm walking around like, I actually saved my candy bar, and I tried to trade the guy in front of me. I said, I'll give you this candy bar if you'll trade places with me. For weeks after I came back, Debbie would get behind me and go, meow. And I would just fall down in a fetal position, scared to death. I mean, it was a whole different mentality. When I read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 after that, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the lion, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. It made much more sense. Be watchful, be on the alert, be on the lookout. Well, in what ways? Here's how we can apply it. Three ways. Number one, we must vigilantly look outwardly. Remember, the gravitational pull of sin is very powerful. Seth, come up here, please. Where are you, Seth? Hurry, hurry, hurry. Now, Seth and I are about the same weight. So, if we're having a tug of war battle, okay, Seth, here's a lion. Okay. Line, not lion. All right. And we're going to see who can pull each other across. Hang on now, you're stronger than I am. All right. I let go and you go down those steps. And so it's about even. He'd probably win, but it's about even. Now, stand up here, please. Please stand up. I won't tell anybody. All right. Now, Seth, pull me up with you. That's pretty good, actually. Now, Seth, you had a difficult time pulling me up, but now I'm going to see if I can pull you down. Now, I let you try to pull me up. I didn't resist at all. But I want you to resist. I want you to stay up there. All right? So, you ready? Now, thank you. Now, here's my point. Sin is very devious, for one thing. I cheated, right? And sin always cheats. The battle with sin is not this kind of battle. It's a downward pull. It's much more powerful than we think. We're not sin's equal. So, we must be vigilant. We must be on the lookout because sin will try to pull us down. Secondly, we must be on the lookout inwardly. Inwardly. Now, we don't have the idols that Edom had. But Ezekiel chapter 14, I think it's about verses 3, maybe verse 4, it talks about idols of the heart. And so we must be on the lookout. We may not have brought a physical idol and brought it back and bowed down before it and burned incense to it. You know, if the RA went through some of your rooms and go, oh, see, you have some new idols. You know, it's not like that. But we have these idols in our hearts. And it's usually like the idol in my heart looks a whole lot like Bill Jones. And the idol in your heart looks a whole lot like you. And I saw where I was worshiping this idol this past week. I was at a conference, and it's with our, you know, one of our, we have three agencies that accredit us, and I was down at one of these conferences, and I do not like going to these conferences at all. And I'm down there going, I'm just a big grump. And Debbie, she's so sweet, she goes, oh, we're having a great day. And I'm not like that. I'm usually real positive, upbeat. But I'm just cranky going, I've got to go to another seminar. And, you know, this is, I don't want to go to another seminar. Sweetheart, do I have to go to another seminar? I always want to cry. You know, it's just terrible. And then the Lord, as precious as he is, he said, you are struggling with aletheia. Now, have you learned that word? You haven't learned it, your word, any of your word studies. Here's what it means. Acting like a two-year-old. Now, the Lord said, you are struggling with aletheia. You're acting like a little two-year-old. Because it's not all about you. And you know, I broke out in a smile. Because I realized I was just being so immature and so self-centered. And what and where I saw this was I was reading Psalm 100. And verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Even in a situation that I don't enjoy, I don't have to let the outward circumstances dictate how I'm going to respond. It's not going to dictate my attitude. I'm going to let my love for Jesus dictate my attitude and say, oh, Lord, it's all about you. And if I have to serve you at a place like this, I'm going to serve you with gladness. And it made all the difference in my heart, which makes all the difference in my countenance and in my words. So we must look inwardly. 1 John 5:21, I shared this with you at the introduction at the beginning of the semester. Little children, guard yourselves from idols, and the idol will look just like you. My idols look just like me. Exodus 23:13, as he's giving some follow-up commandments after the Ten Commandments, he says, be on guard, or otherwise you'll end up worshiping their gods. By the way, sometimes others see us worshiping these idols far more quickly than we see ourselves worshiping these idols. And God sends the men of God and the prophets to get our attention. Who's that prophet in your life? Who's that woman of God in your life? Are you listening to them? All right, let's finish up. Third one, look upwardly. Look upwardly. Now, you remember the chair illustration. Sin's power is far greater than our power, but it's not greater than God's power. I love these verses. Verse 15, You know, this man of God, the prophet, comes up to Amaziah. And he says, the second part of the verse 15, he says, why have you sought the gods of the people when those gods didn't even deliver their own people? The idols that these people were worshiping didn't deliver them. So why would you worship these idols that cannot give you anything? And compare that to verse 9. It says, God will give you much, much more. Now, I was talking about physical victory there. But the principle is this. The real God, the Creator God, can actually do something in your lives. Idols can't, other than take us away from following the real God. Well, let me give one more illustration from Africa to wrap things up here. We got around place to place in this little plane. And after a while, I mean, it was great looking down and look at this jungle. Wow, that's beautiful. There's some more jungle. Wow, look at that. There's some more jungle. This is incredible. Look at all, there's jungle everywhere. So after a while, I kind of got tired of looking at jungle. So I said, can I fly this thing? Well, the pilot happened to have been from Colombia and listened to WMHK. And he said, I like WMHK. Come on up. So I crawled up there and got in the co-pilot seat, and I said, how do you fly it? And so he gave me some instructions. This is the picture. He said, that's the steering wheel, that's the gas, that's the brake. I said, all right, this is fun. I like this a whole lot more. And so you see from the next picture, I was kind of pleased with myself. Now, here's the thing. We're up hundreds of feet in the air. And I can walk around in that plane like this. This is great. Guys, look here. But if I opened the door and stepped out, I would see the jungle much more closely than I was seeing it from up there. That's that old illustration you've heard, that the law of aerodynamics is more powerful than the law of gravity. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and of death. Romans 8, verse 4. So, in our vigilance, watching over sin in its pull, because it cheats, we think it's going to attack us on this side, and it just pushes us over on the other side. We have to vigilantly be looking all around us, looking inside of us. But the most important thing is to look upwardly and to tap in to the power of God's Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is far, far, far more powerful than the pull of sin. So how can we keep from making the same mistake as Amaziah and end up not following God with the whole heart, following after idols, filled with pride, not listening to wise counsel? Be vigilant. Look outwardly. Remember, sin's gravitational pull is powerful. Look inwardly. Guard against idols of your heart. They'll have your features when you look there, if you're worshiping one. And then look upwardly. Tap into the Holy Spirit's power. And then once you're up, don't step back out. Just stay close, united, dependent, yielded to Him. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we want to do right in your sight. We don't want a comma after that. We want to be like Asa, serve you with a whole heart. Lord, we want to be like Jehoshaphat. Lord, we want to make sure that we're staying on our faces in prayer before you, trusting you for the victory. Lord, we want to listen to these prophets, these men of God, these women of God that you send in our lives, and constantly heed their advice, their counsel. and do what's right. Lord, we want to stay vigilant. Lord, I think of that verse that he became proud after he had victory over the Edomites. Lord, when we come back after this break, Christmas break, we're going to look at Uzziah and how he became prideful. Lord, may we not be prideful. But Lord, may we stay tapped in to your Spirit's power. Always remaining vigilant that there's a roaring lion seeking to devour us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.